You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, and on a very special Rockies Insider podcast, we've got, frankly, the original Kyle Freeland himself from North Glen High School, from Colorado State University, an original Colorado Rocky.
Rims.
He's an original man from 1993.
Rims.
Mark Knudsen. What's going on, buddy?
Just trying to get ready for football season and keep baseball season going at the same time. So, yeah, it's all going good.
I'm glad it's going good for you, for everyone who plays sports here in this region. Unfortunately, we'll talk about the 2024 roster, as well as a couple interesting wrinkles going on with rule changes in baseball potentially coming down the path. We'll get your opinion on that.
But you can see by my look on my face what my opinion on those are. Not good.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get some hot takes out of you. I do like that. Okay. That's a good thing. Yep. But going into Wednesday's game, Rockies 30-34 at home after that rough loss on Tuesday. So if you extrapolate that out the rest of the way, they're going to go 8-9, just under 500 at home. But on the road, 19-15. That's a 3-9 pace the rest of the way. So 60-102 is where they're going to be. They've got a very difficult strength of schedule. What would you expect from this club the rest of the way? Can they maybe get hot and avoid 100 losses?
Well, keep in mind they've played better against good teams, right? So maybe the schedule works in their favor, because I don't know. It should be a rallying cry in the clubhouse for the last month to get to play 500 ball in the last month and avoid 100 losses. It seems like a lot to ask, but it's really not. If you think about it, a lot of teams will be out of the race. They'll play some teams that are in it. Some teams will have clinched. You know, the Dodgers come in here at the end of the year. They have clinched their spot, so you don't know what they're going to be doing. So the opportunity is in front of them to close strong and have a little momentum going into the next year. But, boy, it all comes back to the same thing, Pat, you and I have talked about for 2 years now. It starts on the mound, and it's just not been what they need. They've just not what they need there. And they've got all this young talent that everybody's excited about, justifiably so, but they can't get it going on the mound. And we're not seeing the young guys, too many of the young pitchers coming up that we're excited about.
Yeah, entering this week, Rockies pitchers had a 5.35 ERA at home, kind of par for the course, at Coors Field, 5.70 on the road. Would actually mark the fourth time in franchise history the Rockies have had a higher ERA on the road than at home. 2021, 2013, 2003 were the only other times. But on the bright side, you talk about maybe wanting to see some more young starting pitching.
Yes, absolutely.
We've seen a lot of young Rockies relievers. They've posted a 3.92 ERA at home versus 7.07 road ERA. Have you, what have been your early takeaways from some of the young guys that have been open?
They have not been put in high stress situations other than Vodnik, who's hurt, obviously. But the other guys, Peralta, the kid just came up, made his debut in Yankee Stadium, pitched well. Blaylock looks like he might have something there. You don't know until you see them put in the situation. We saw, and I can't say his name, Shavili. Not be able to do it in the ninth inning. He's been hot and cold. He got a save, but he's been up and down in the ninth inning. Just that back end of the bullpen has just been so difficult. Tyler Kinley, you expect to be the guy, and he's been inconsistent. He's had a better second half than he did first half, but he's still been inconsistent. Nothing more disheartening than blowing a lead like they did the other night, blowing a big lead in the ninth inning. That sucks the life out of you as a team, and they've got to get that fixed. If Vaughn thinks the answer, great. We don't know that yet. But if you're going to go out in free agency and do anything, because you have some contracts coming off the books, you have some money to spend, if you're going to do anything between now and next spring training, you find somebody that can close games consistently on the road, at home, regardless, somebody you can count on in the ninth inning, because, man, these late losses are demoralizing, regardless of who's been on the mound.
Yeah, that's a great point. We did talk with Buddy earlier in the week, this idea that, hey, maybe Bird and Justin Lawrence for the final month can be these bounce back candidates. You know, Bird came on in authority in 2022 and was immediately put in some high leverage spots as a rookie, immediately got Buddy's trust and deserved it. And Lawrence was a closer for a while. Buddy even saying like, hey, we kind of went into the year thinking he was going to be saving games. Yep. Do you think... if you had to put your money on one or both of those guys and figuring out in the second half, will they do that? Or you know, are they still projects that you're kind of waiting to see? And could maybe one of them develop into somewhat of an Adam Ottavino type in the long run?
Well, Lawrence certainly has that ability. We've seen that. He looks a lot like Ottavino. I mean, he throws like Ottavino, but his command isn't very good. I mean, that slider sweeper pitch he throws, it should be unhittable for right-handed hitters, but he can't get in the strike zone. And so until he gets command... the great stuff isn't going to do him any good. We've seen that with a lot of other guys who've come through here with great stuff that just couldn't command it or wouldn't command it here or were concerned about the conditions, the altitude, the dryness, whatever, and pitched less than aggressively here. Carlos Estevez jumps to mind. I mean, he's done well in Los Angeles. He didn't do well here. He just, I don't know what's going on between his ears, why he couldn't do that here. So that's a big question mark. I don't know. I really, Jake Bird's a good pitcher. You like Jake Bird. He has good, but he's just, again, consistency comes with command. The stuff is going to be hot and cold. Some days you're going to be throwing a little harder than others. Some days you're going to have a little sharper break on your breaking ball, but command, throwing the ball where you want to throw the ball it has to be a constant. And, you know, guys, somebody like Greg Maddux, I know us old timers throw his name around a lot, but he used to talk about when I got in trouble, I didn't try to throw harder. I tried to locate better. And these guys haven't mastered that skill.
Yeah, and only a couple of them have mastered to a degree that 100-mile-an-hour fastball, that high 90s, right? Which, again, if you can locate it, that's great.
Right.
Otherwise, if you're just throwing it all over the place, we kind of saw that with Riley Pint, you're not going to be effective if you're walking the ballpark.
I saw a sign on Twitter that said, no one cares how hard you throw a ball for. And that's something I try to teach my young pitchers. I think most coaches do, that – velocity is wonderful. It's great, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't command the ball where it's going to go. And you know, it comes back to the age-old question: what are they being taught in the minor leagues? What are they learning when they get here? They're supposed to have already known that, and they're supposed to already have mastered that. And that hasn't been the case with the guys that have come up so far.
Yeah, they're
still looking to see some of these other young guys that we've heard so much about. The starters we've heard so much about, still waiting on them. Maybe they have that skill that the relievers are lacking so far.
There's actually been somewhat of a shift, it seems like, in the industry, in the game, where players are getting opportunities a little bit sooner. I think maybe it makes more sense for the position players. I think we're seeing the Reds promote Rhett Lauder, who was only drafted number 7th overall last year in the 2023 MLB draft. Well, two picks after him, of course, Chase Dolander. And you have to ask, okay, well, these young guys, is giving them those opportunities early, at least if they're a high-end talent that have that ceiling. Are you okay with erring on that side, or do you feel like they need a little more seasoning in the minors?
Well, it depends on where they're coming from. If you're a kid drafted out of high school like Drew Romo, he needed all the time he took in the minor leagues. You're coming out of college. Every year you spend in college is worth at least two years in the minors out of high school. So you expect Jordan Beck to move up the ladder faster than Drew Romo because he played it at a high level in college. So the high-level college kids should be more ready to come up to the major leagues at a faster pace. However, you got to be careful because you didn't monitor them when they were in college. You don't know about their arms. You don't know about their elbow conditions. Gabriel Hughes being a great example. You just don't know what you're getting out of those college guys because the college coaches aren't beholden to you like minor league guys are. That was the argument I always had with Tracy Ringlesby about high school versus college. Well, yes, college kids are more polished products, but they're also potentially more damaged goods. And that's what the Rockies have to evaluate when they're rushing guys up to the minors.
You mentioned a demoralized defeat on Tuesday night, blowing a 4-run lead and giving up 5 runs in the 9th. Again, we just have never seen a bullpen do that in the history of baseball so many times. Between that and, you know, winning the first game of a series, I say that because since July 1st, the Rockies have won the first game of their last 7 home series. So that makes you say, hey, are they going to go out and win on Friday night against the Orioles? What does that mean to a team when you can go out and start early with a win? Does that have the same value as a game 2 win?
It depends. I mean, we saw in New York with the Yankees, the old saying is momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher. And the Yankees pitcher on Saturday was the hole in the rotation, right? It's the guy, the young guy they called up as an injury replacement. And the Rockies took advantage of that after being shut out by a good pitcher, Rondon, the night before. So I don't put a lot of stock in that momentum thing. Well, we won the first game, we should win the series. You're going to have to go up against a different pitcher every night. You've got to bring your A game, and you've got to bring your best stuff the next night, or what you did the night before really doesn't make any difference.
Rockies and most teams can always use more pitching. What have been your thoughts on the Rockies' approach with Anthony Molina, selecting him in the Rule 5 draft out of the Tampa Bay Rays organization, knowing full well that, look, they're just going to, you know, handle him with kid gloves, put him in some, you know, lower leverage situations, try to stretch him out a little bit, and then starting in 2025, you know, maybe he even goes back to the minors to become a starter again, because this is a good arm that has had a success at the minors. Do you think the Rockies are one of those teams that needs to play around on the fringes with guys like this to try to get another, you know, high quality arm?
There's no question. I think you and I were on a podcast with Clint Hurdle a few weeks ago, and he's basically said that, right? Arm. We're collecting as many as we can. We're throwing them all out there. We'll see which ones work. And that's what they've got to do. Unfortunately for fans of this year's team, those arms are all in the low minors. They're all still, I mean, some are trickling into Albuquerque right now, but those are Hartford guys. Those are guys in the minors. So we're going to have to wait and see. But yeah, I think that shotgun approach you're talking about, just give a guy a shot and see what he's got, and then on to the next guy, on to the next guy. It puts pressure on the player, certainly, to know that there's a glut of pitchers in the organization and, you know, last man standing kind of thing. But that's the only way the Rockies can do this right now. They can't say, well, we've got our 6 or 8 or 10 guys and we're going to nurture them all the way through. Most of them are going to get hurt. That's been happening. And it's not just the Rockies, it's everywhere. Look at the Dodgers pitching staff. It's in shambles. It's been in shambles for the last 4 or 5 years, but they still find a way to win. Even though Walker Buehler's been next to useless for them for 3 years, right? I mean, you know, Dustin May, guys like that, just falling by the wayside, but they keep winning somehow, some way. But the Rockies are in that same boat. Most teams are. You've got to get guys up there. Yes, you want to do your homework so you know, has this guy pitched a ton of club ball? Did he pitch a ton in college? Did he pitch a ton in high school? Is his arm, is he due for an arm blowout? Or we got a guy who hasn't thrown a Paul Skeens, who was not overused at Air Force. He was a two-way guy at Air Force, right? He pitched a 1 year at LSU, but they were careful with him. So you keep your fingers crossed that Paul Skeens can avoid surgery that almost everybody else is getting. But the Rockies have to, you got a lot of homework to do here and a lot of evaluation to do here. But having a lot of numbers to do that with is advantageous, I think. And Clint said it best to you and I, that we've just got to have enough arms, just throw them out there and see who's the last guy standing.
And to that point, the Rockies need to experiment with figuring something
out. Yes, no question.
Because they haven't figured it out. When teams and organizations seem to have figured it out, again, the game changes and you have to evolve. And the Rockies are still waiting. They seem to have found that formula. It seemed like it in 2017 and 18 with the young homegrown rotation. And maybe they'll get back to it again. But it's crazy to think. And every time I bring this up to someone, their eyes kind of bulge out of their head. Next year, there's a strong chance that they're going to have 5 starters making close to or above $10 million. So a $50 million rotation is a lot.
And it doesn't really make a lot of sense if you look at the scoreboard, right? If you just say, okay, these guys, I mean, I think Kyle Freeland, you mentioned him off the top of the show. I consider Kyle a friend. I think Kyle is a great ambassador for this team. He's a very important member of this team. Is he a number one starter in this league? No, I don't think he would say that either. Germán Márquez is, in my opinion, probably done. I don't think you're going to see much out of Germán Márquez anymore. He's been on the shelf for better part of 3 years now. I don't know how he comes back. Senzatella, same situation. You don't know. I mean, at this point, if I'm a Rockies fan, and I am, I put more faith in the Dolanders of the world than I do in the Marquez of the world at this point, as far as the future of this pitching rotation goes. And yeah, having 5 guys make, you know, $50 million, you just hope you can offload maybe a Gomber or somebody like that and get a little salary relief there, because you need to, these young guys need to play. They need to pitch.
Yeah, they have to get that opportunity, because both, not even both, all 3 of Marquez, Gomber, and Cal Quantrill, free agents after 2025, Senzatella getting the start in Double A Hartford on Wednesday night. So he's approaching the comeback trail, and we will probably see him in Colorado once, allow him a somewhat normal offseason, and then we'll kind of wait and see what happens going forward.
That's all you can do. But what you can't do is count on him. You can't depend on him at the expense of developing your younger guys. Your younger guys have to be part of your plan. Or when things go south, they just the bottom falls out.
I think I know your answer on this next question, and this is something the fan base has kind of been banging the drum about for, 3 years now, it seems like, and finally with Michael Toley getting playing time and playing well, you go, all right, it took a while, but it's finally happening now. Are you in the let the kids play camp and seeing what you got with some of these young guys and being okay with going, you know, less the veterans?
Absolutely. I think Manny said it, Manny Randall, our friend said it best a year ago at this time. You got to, before you know what you need, you got to see what you got, you know, and I think you got to see Jordan Beck play. You got to see Nolan Jones play. You've got to see all these guys come up and play. I'm a big Tolia guy, have been for a while. Even when he was struggling, I thought, listen, the size of that guy, he's built like Adonis. His glove work around first base is phenomenal. He is head and shoulders the best first baseman on this team. I had arguments with colleagues that thought Montero was the guy. I said, Montero doesn't have a position. Tolley obviously needs to cut down the strikeouts and get his batting average up into the 240s, 250s range before he's a standout player in this game. But yes, let him play. I mean, Nolan Jones hasn't had a good year, but he's your future. So is Beck. So is obviously Brendan Doyle. That goes without saying. You've got to let the young guys play. And to that end, I wrote on Mile High Sports a couple weeks ago, it's time for Chris Bryant to do the Rockies a solid and retire. He needs to hang it up. His body has told him he's done. I mean, we've seen it for 3 years now. He's still going to get his money. Perhaps he takes on an advisory role, does something to give back to the organization that's paying him $27 million for the next 4 years. But he can't be a roadblock to some of these other guys playing. If he comes back, the organization is going to want to stick him in there at some position. And what? You put him at first base and Nick Toley out of the lineup? He can't play the outfield. He's going to get hurt again. His body has just told him it's over. And I hope he realizes that. I hope he does the organization a solid and says, okay, I'm going to hang it up as a player. What can I do for you for the next 4 years? And maybe when Las Vegas has a baseball team, I can go work in the front office there or something like that. He's had a great career. Most of the guys he is more or less mentoring right now, right? You can only hope to have the same kind of career he's had. Right? MVP, World Series, all that. But there comes a time when it's over. And it's over for Chris Bryant. And he, as a player, he's still got a lot to give in other ways, and hopefully that's how he contributes, because he can't block the playing time for these young guys.
And you almost can't have both Chris Bryant and Charlie Blackmon around in 2025. You might want one of them to be a veteran presence, but Blackmon, no contract. Bryant does have that. You do want that extra spot as your DH to give guys a day off in the field. I mean, we've seen Brent Doyle, you know, have some days as DH. He's back in the lineup on Wednesday.
Who'd have thought that a year ago at this time?
Right?
Big he's hitting under 200. He's a Gold Glove center fielder, but he's hitting under 200. Now to flip the switch a year, now he's getting some time at DH because he's having such a good year at the plate. You can only hope that the other guys develop like he's developed, because that they've really got themselves something there.
Yeah, I think about the, you know, as I just mentioned with KB and Chris Bryant. Is KB. CB, Charlie Blackmon. With Charlie Blackmon and Chris Bryant, this like veteran presence and more so Charlie Blackmon being the leader of this young squad, it does make me flash forward to like 3 years from now where Ryan McMahon might end up being that guy. You know, Todd Helton in 2007 still was a really solid year. He was on the downswing of his career, but was that critical leader that helped the club, you know, get back to the postseason. Right. And I say that because, you know, McMahon has had some, you know, clutch moments for this franchise. His home run on Monday gave them the go-ahead. That was his ninth of the season, 44th of his career, actually tied Trevor Story for 10th most in franchise history. So some of the counting stats, not as big for McMahon, despite the long tenure here in Denver, but those clutch moments he's been big for. You might disappear at other times, but in some of those big spots, he's been critical, and the defense never slumps. Do you see him as being that veteran presence in 3 years from now? It seems like he just arrived.
Yeah.
But
well, yes. I mean, I think he has to be. I think, in fact, he probably has to be sooner than 3 years. I think Tovar can step into that role too, especially with the younger Hispanic players. You already got Jacob Stallings. You'll probably keep him around for next year while Romo gets the bulk of the action. But yes, there has to be a transition. And the torch has to be passed. And I think Bryant and Blackmon, I don't think either one of them has much value to this team next year, because I don't think you're talking about a 2007 World Series team next year. You're talking about a team that's going to battle to get to 500, and maybe they can do that, but they're not on the cusp of great things yet. By the time they get to the cusp of great things, assuming that happens, Blackman and Bryant won't be in part. They'll be retired. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, Ryan McMahon has to be that guy. Yes, even somebody like Nolan Jones has to be that guy. Some of these guys have to lead by example rather than verbally. But, yes, you need some of these other guys to step up and start filling those voids. And for my money, it can't start soon enough.
So Mark Knudsen, to my knowledge, the only human being on the history of the planet to play all three tiers of a playing career in Colorado, high school, minor leagues with the Denver Zephyrs, in the majors. The only person. There you go. And college. Yes, that's right.
And college too.
Four phases of the career. Mark Knudsen doing it at altitude, high school, college, minors, and then in the majors. For you, do you feel like Cal Quantrill has almost the perfect bulldog type mindset to pitch for the Colorado Rockies and be successful at Coors Field?
Well, I played against his dad, and yes, he's been brought up in major league clubhouses. He understands the situation. He doesn't get flustered. He doesn't have overpowering stuff, but bulldog's a good term for it. The Rockies have had some of those guys in the past, Josh Fogg, guys like that who gone out and just battled their way through games. You don't have to have great stuff. You have to have great command. And good stuff with great command will win you a lot of baseball games. I think Cal Quantrill falls into that category. You really like the way he's pitched at Coors Field. He's pitched really well here. And that takes a special mindset to do that. Kyle's pitched well here. I think most of the guys who are from here have pitched well here because they're used to the conditions. But, yes, having a guy like that is going to be pretty valuable, even if you just have him for one more year. You hope that he and Kyle can both pass down the idea that this isn't the boogeyman is not standing at home plate. This isn't a death knell for pitchers out here. You can pitch and win here. The other guy has to pitch here too. So let's just go out and let's hold them to fewer runs than we score. And W is the main thing here, not the ERA or the numbers. So yeah, I think Quantrill's done a really nice job here this year, and I hope that when the time comes that he's not going to be a Rocky anymore, they can get something in return for him, because it's frustrating to see some of these guys leave without getting any return. The Rockies, like Diaz and some of these other guys have left here and sayonara.
Yeah, there's a lot made of the non-trade of Elias Diaz, and then you see him go through waivers and then no one claims him, finally latching on with the San Diego Padres. But I think the point that is being made with the asset that is Elias Diaz was not July of 2024, but in July of 2023,
still had another year.
And you say you had a year plus of this guy coming up, playing great on both sides of the ball, and you end up losing him for nothing when you've gotten something at some point.
That's been a historic problem for this organization. I think they have to face up to the fact that they have historically held on to guys too long. They held on to Larry Walker too long, right? They're out of contention before they ever considered trading Larry Walker. And the late Kelly McGregor, may rest in peace, told me they held on to him 2 years too long. And I think that's just been a characteristic of the organization. And I think you have to be willing to part with guys. And listen, they've got a lot of young guys. Zach Veen's coming up through the pipeline, right? Zach Veen's in Albuquerque now. Where are they going to play him? They got a lot of young position players that are pretty talented players that someone else might want and give you a pretty talented pitcher in return, right? So they've done a good job of bringing up these young guys through the system, these young infielders. They've got Shrunk and they've got Amador. They've got to trade Brendan Rodgers. They just have to trade Brendan Rodgers while he's the guy you're talking about right now. Trade him now and before it's too late, you get nothing for him. You've got younger replacements. Get some pitching in return. They could have got pitching for him 2 years ago from Florida, and they didn't. So they've got to pull the trigger on some of these moves sooner rather than later. Go Rams.
Where they could find all your work at.
At milehighsports.com. I do the three strikes. My column runs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on milehighsports.com. And obviously, Mile High Sports Magazine is just coming out, our football preview issue. You get two chances. You get Dion on one cover. You don't want to get the Dion. You want to get the Bo Nix cover. Let's go Bo Nix. Let's forget about Dion. Go Rams.
One of them was a pretty good major league player. Did you ever face Dion, by the way?
Dion couldn't hit me with a tennis racket. I owned him, so.
Oddly enough, that's not even your hottest take yet.
No, I know.
It's not even the hottest clip.
Hey, listen. I was sitting next to Sean Keeler when all that stuff went down in Boulder the other day. I was sitting right next to Sean, and he talked to me. He said, "Mark likes me." You hear that? If you're listening to the recording of that mess that Dion put himself through, but go Rams. Go Rams.
That's a good Easter egg. We'll have to check that out. Make sure you're checking me out at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on all the social medias at Rockies underscore Insider. Keep supporting the podcast. Go over to the channel over on YouTube, The Rockies Insider. Appreciate that. Mark, you said it before. Momentum is only as good as your next day starting.
That's absolutely right.
But in the podcasting world, I like to say momentum is only as good as your next show. So thank you for that momentum.
Let's keep it going.
More tomorrow.
Let's keep it going.
Talk to you then.